The re-election headquarters for Carolina Garcia Ramirez was deep in Roxbury at the corner of Proctor and Mass, wedged between an all-night liquor store and a Honduran restaurant that advertised the best pollo frito in Boston. That afternoon, I was dressed appropriately for the dog days of summer. A lightweight, khaki summer suit, white linen shirt, and polished wingtips, sans socks. I caught a glimpse in the office window and thought I might give George Raft a run for his money. "May I help you?" the receptionist said. Despite my stunning entrance, the woman had yet to look up from her computer screen. "Can you vouch for the Honduran place on the corner?" I said. "Is the pollo frito really the best in the city?" "I don't know," she said. "Never been there." "Seems worth investigating." "Soul food joint down on Blue Hill's much better," she said, "if you're into that kind of thing." The woman was of a plus size, with long black cornrows and large brown eyes. I smiled, offering high wattage so as not to distract her from her duties. She had on a white silk top with blue polka dots, a nifty little bow at the neck. She hadn't smiled since I walked in the door. Women usually swoon or fall onto the floor with convulsions when I appear. "Are you here to see someone?" the woman said, "or just strolling around asking random-ass questions?" "Might as well do both," I said. "The congresswoman is expecting me." "The congresswoman isn't here," she said. "Is there something else I can help you with?" "My name is Spencer," I said. "Kyle Rosen arranged a meeting." "Spencer?" she said. "Is that your first name or last?" "Last." She asked me my first name, and I told her. The woman stopped clicking the keyboard and picked up the phone, speaking so quietly I could barely understand what was being said. After a few moments, she nodded and pointed out a group of vinyl chairs that looked to have been swiped from a Ramada Inn lobby. "Gonna be a minute." I took a seat by a large plate glass window. The chair's split seams had been repaired with silver duct tape. As I waited, a staff of a dozen or so milled about second-hand desks and wobbly chairs. The paneled wood walls brightened with posters of Congresswoman Carolina Garcia Ramirez, looking as bold and confident as Che Guevara. "Change now," and "For the People," written in block lettering. It sounded like most of the staff was cold-calling potential voters about next month's primary. One exasperated young man kept repeating the congresswoman's name before finally relaying the sad news. Tip O'Neill had died long ago. 15 minutes later, I spotted Kyle Rosen through the plate glass window. We had never actually met, but I'd seen his picture and read his profile in the Globe. I watched him crawl from a black SUV and hold the door open for another passenger. I stood as Carolina Garcia Ramirez stepped out, dressed in a black pantsuit, hair in a tight bun, with a phone firmly clamped on her ear. She was tall, black, and striking. Even if you didn't know who she was, she looked like somebody. Another man, small and thin, with hair bleached nearly as white as Teddy Sapp's, followed from the front passenger seat, carrying a very large leather bag. He struggled to get ahead and open the door. I looked to the receptionist. She smiled and nodded in their direction. "Mr. Spencer," Rosen said, "I'm sorry we're late. The flight from D.C. was delayed twice." Rosen was a young guy, late 20s, early 30s, with wild, frizzy brown hair and black-framed glasses that hadn't been hip since Buddy Holly died. He was medium height and skinny, wearing jeans and an oversized black T-shirt that said, "Be the Change." I followed Rosen into a private conference room filled with floor-to-ceiling boxes and large stacks of posters. A long oval table was cluttered with coffee cups and fast food containers, a few legal notepads and office supplies. A sign on the wall read, "I'm not your mother, kids. Please clean up your damn mess." "Thank you for coming," Rosen said. "Any friend of Rita's?"